afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Monday, July 10th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
It's Monday. Woo-hoo. And slow day for a lot of folks, and gold today, a little bit of a slow day, but not bad. 1214 for gold. 1214 for gold, up 160. Although there was a lot of pressure on it early in early morning trade, she did manage to turn around 1214. Silver, 1574, up 0.06. Platinum was down 7 at 904. Palladium was up 2 at $846. The USDX today was trading a little bit stronger, 0.06 at 96.06. Crude oil was up 0.23, 44.46. And the paper markets today, oh, they were up most of the day, and at the very end, the Dow. There's a few numbers still coming through, but we're looking at the Dow down 4 points at 21,410. It's a negative. Yay! The NASDAQ, however, was up 23 points at 61.76. The S&P was up 2 at 24.27. 10-year yield, 2.37%, down 0.02. The euro was also a little bit of pressure, down 0.03 at 1.14. European Asian markets, they were all up slightly. Nothing big, nothing to write home about. So quiet day in the markets. Everyone's coming back from last week's July 4th holiday. So I would expect to see gold and silver begin to recline the drop that we've seen. And I think you'll both see those numbers moving up again as we go through the summer, which is usually light trading. India, I'm sure a lot of people, who cares about India, and but India's biggest stock exchange was halted for 3 hours. Just because this is in India, and the reason I'm bringing this up, doesn't mean that it can't happen here, because that's the danger of a lot of these exchanges. But the India's National Stock Exchange, the country's biggest bourse, suffered its longest ever halt on Monday after an unidentified glitch disrupted orders and price feeds, forcing the operator to freeze all equities and derivatives trading. Indonesia was also hit with a data issue and responded with its own shutdown. But in both cases, brokers said that the confusion reigned even after the venues had announced the suspension. I guess there was India had one stock, and this is, you know, when you have a new stock on there, I don't know if I can bring it up. It was a finance bank. This trader, head of equities at Mumbai, this small finance bank, was its first day of trading. And as of 3:15 local time, he was still waiting to find out if his firm owned the stock. The stock rose 51% on its debut. Here you have a stock that rose 51%. You don't even know if you own it or not. But on the opposite side of that coin, if you're trying to sell, it can drop 51%, and you don't know if you own it or not. And if you do own it and it drops 51%, those are scary things that happens when these, you know, computer glitches hit these markets, and the numbers are the massive numbers anymore just overrides the system. Your trade gets knocked to the bottom, and most likely sometimes they'll go back and honor the trades, but depending on the situation, I guess it depends on who it benefits. If it benefits them, yeah, they'll might go through with the trade. Yeah, but if it benefits you, I don't think so. So that was kind of interesting to see that we still have those problems. Those problems will continue to exist. And again, we've had so many. Wait till one of these exchanges gets hit with the ransomware, and these hackers will, play with the market. We don't know if they don't already. How do you know? How do you?
Well, there's a question. I mean, the ransomware, they come in and manipulate the market. We already have the market being manipulated, but we don't regard it as ransomware. But really, what is the difference? It's like, what's the difference between the Bloods and the Crips? Not that much. Who's given us a fair shake? Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's easily identifiable. Here's an article from Cointelegraph. It says 65% of the banks in the United States failed the 2017 online security test by Online Trust. This is conducted by an outfit called Online Trust Audit. Even though, and the significance of this article is that it casts doubt on whether we can rely on digital mechanisms to deal with our wealth. That's what Melody was just talking about. They're having glitches. They have these problems in India. Oh, my gosh, it's a computer program. Maybe we'll honor it. Maybe we won't honor the results. Here it says, even though the online banking sites are supposed to be the best security, have the best security in place, the study shows failing grades for the majority of the top 100 financial institutions in the United States. Less than half of U.S. banks scored 80%. Also known as Online Trust Audit, the study was done to enhance online trust and efficiency for online businesses by running audits of business websites. It includes 1,000 websites, 100 which are that of financial institutions. The results show that only 27% of U.S. banks got honor roll status. It essentially means that they scored more than 80% on the security analysis. There's more here. The whole financial industry seems to lag behind when it comes to overall security. It raises red flags for consumers whether to trust the online services with their sensitive information, especially when it involves financial transactions. 10 of the top financial institutions operating in the U.S. have third-party trackers on their websites. That means you're going to do business with these 10 outfits, top financial institutions, and they have third-party, somebody snuck a program into their website that monitors whatever you're telling the financial institution. You think you're only dealing with the financial institution, and in fact, there's a third party that's monitoring the transaction. They can record a huge amount of information, including personal information typed into forms and even account balances. Well, you know, you can't open, we've said a bunch of times, you can't run the internet in a way that's easily accessible by everyone and at the same time maintain sufficient security. The hackers are going to bust right through whatever's there. If it's open where most people can get in, I guarantee the hackers can enter, and they're smart enough to figure out what to do with this stuff. And Melody was just reading from an article in India, and here we have the same problem in this country. We're going to have the 65% of banks in the U.S. failed the 2017 online security test. Last year, it was only something like 50% that failed. The failure rate is increasing. And I don't know if that's because the banks are becoming more lax or because the hackers are becoming more sophisticated. I think it's the hacker. Maybe it's a combination of both, but I think it's because the hackers are becoming more sophisticated. I don't think, you know, I mean, if you want to deal in digital to store your wealth, well, good luck with that, and I'm sure most of you will get away with it. But this is dangerous business. It's risky business, and, you know what I'm going to say for what am I going to say for a conclusion here, Melody?
I don't know. You tell us.
Oh, you know. I'm going to say you need to store your wealth in something tangible that's not subject to digital theft.
Prior to 2008, some good friends invested with Metropolitan Life. They had various accounts and so forth. And their idea, their thought was, well, if the system breaks and the markets drop, and our wealth goes from one level to, 20%, we're all in the same, I'm not going to be the only one. I won't be the only one in that boat. And I'm thinking to myself, people have been conditioned, and it's the same way with the digital banking system. What do most people think if you tell them or you talk to them? Aren't you concerned about hackers? Aren't you concerned about these digits just going away? And I'll guarantee you the response will be, well, I won't be the only one.
Yep.
And I'm
this
thinking,
is what's called a herd mentality,
this is
and it's
such
not a formula for being prosperous.
We have gone so long without any problems, and when there are problems, they just get washed away. There's no effect from the negative things that happen. Everything is, you know, every markets keep going up. I mean, look at all the reports that we talk about, the problems that the system has, not only here but around the world, various things that have happened, and yet it doesn't matter. And people have been conditioned, and you're right, the herd mentality, the conditioning, people don't care. If it works today, it'll work tomorrow, and I'll worry
even
about it.
Even if it doesn't work, and this is a legitimate, people look and they say, well, they had a problem. But the problem didn't cover the whole globe. The problem didn't cover the whole world. It was pretty much confined to one bank or one financial institution, or maybe even a dozen of them, or 100 of them, I don't know. But it didn't get everybody. And that gives us a certain amount of solace, a sense of protection. You know, they can't get us all at the same time. And maybe they can't. But they can still get a lot of us.
But
and if you happen to be the ones that are got, there's a problem. All right?
But there's also a conditioning that the government will take care of it.
No, I understand.
And that's a...
They got the FDIC backing up your bank. Yeah. Your bank's
luck.
Melody.
Good luck.
unless somebody with $100,000, somebody loses, oh my gosh, FDIC is broke.
Speaking of wealth, Bezos, Carlos Slim, Buffett. This is an article out of the New York Sun. And these guys are publicly pleading poverty. These are the billionaires of the world. They're asking Congress for help with their newspapers. A bunch of rich individuals are asking Congress to write them a law that would give them better negotiating power against other rich individuals. These people that want this special treatment. You have Washington Post owner Jeff Bezos. Hey, he's only worth $84 billion.
Well, you can see.
The New York Times owner Carlos Slim. He's worth about $61 billion. The Buffalo News owner Warren Buffett. He's worth $77 billion. And they're asking Congress for a helping hand in their negotiations with Google. Controlled by Sergey Brin and Larry Page. It's like, really? This,
Are they really asking for help, Melody, or are they bribing people with political campaign contributions to give them help?
Probably both.
Yeah, I'd say the heavy emphasis on political campaign contributions.
But that's where they run to. I mean, these guys are billions and billions and billions of dollars.
I
mean, if you total it up, the three of them, and look at the newspapers they own, deal with it.
They've got $250 billion between the three of them or thereabouts. See, what I'm thinking is we ought to go to Washington and we ought to ask Washington to take their $250 billion, we'll leave them $100 million apiece, and we'll apply the $250 billion to paying off part of the national debt. Mm-hmm. How about that, Maldy?
Mm-hmm.
We could have a special interest legislation, too, except we can't bribe Congress and we can't bribe the Senate the way these guys can.
But the idea that they even go to Congress and want to be bailed
shameless.
Out
just
because
shameless.
They have bad investments. And, you know, yeah, the newspapers have had difficulties with their advertising and so forth. I mean, hey, if you made a bad decision, you made a bad investment,
deal
with it.
That's what they're saying. That's
deal
what they're saying.
It.
Yeah. They invested in newspapers and they invested in certain items the same way some people invest in IBM and General Motors. And if it turns out the IBM stock goes down or the General Motors stock goes down, we can't go to Washington and say, oh, give us a special law where we get our money back. No, if you made a bad investment, you made a bad investment. That's the way it works. Someone should explain this to Mr. Bezos, Mr. Buffett, and who's the third
Carlos
one? You said?
Slim Carlos.
Carlos Slim. Someone should sit down and explain to him, see, the market, actually, people can suffer losses. It's not just all about winning. probably don't understand that yet, but we should bring that to their attention, Melody.
Okay. But anyway, I just thought, you know what? It's just another sign that the whole system, the whole concept is just so screwed up. It's just...
Well, I'll tell you another thing.
There's
that
no good
sign
coming
of,
from it.
Insofar as we're talking about newspapers, I mean, Buffett or whoever owns the newspaper, I think it was Buffett you were talking about, he wants
News.
To protect his little newspaper investment. Why doesn't he sell it?
Yeah.
And the answer is he overpaid and he can't get his money back, because anybody with a brain in their head knows that newspapers are a dangerously risky business at this point in time. Their technology is being overcome by the internet. Right? This is like investing in, horses and carriages when the automobile's coming in. You're missing the new technology. The significance now, you want someone else to pay for your oversight.
But you know what, Al? Again, it comes back, and I get all that. You have Google, Facebook. They have taken revenue dollars out of the publishers' pockets. But you know what? Look at these publishers anymore. I mean, if you could pick up a magazine and it has 50 pages, 45 pages are going to be advertising, and you get
yep.
5 pages of articles. And yep. they're, you know. So, again, the quality... After a while, yes, people don't want it. They can go to the internet, get all the news they want. They have to ferret through all the news, figure out which is true, which is not true. And, you know, that's a big problem for a lot of people. They can't tell the difference between the truth. And so you have just as much fake news on the internet as you do on TV. So,
probably more.
But the point is, if you publish, look at the Wall Street Journal. They publish they published a good newspaper. Their revenue might be down, but they're not out of business. I mean,
no,
so
I
if
know.
You publish a good something good, people will buy it.
But they have to move and begin to adapt to the internet.
Sure, they have an online subscription. It gives you the options. I do like to read a paper newspaper. I like to read the real thing. I prefer
that's because
a newspaper.
You're old school, Melody. See, the next generation, they won't have to read it at all. They'll just have a chip implanted over their right ear, and they'll just get the signal. They'll know what to think.
I also think
send that signal
to
all of us at the same time.
Let me finish this. I do think articles that are written for the newspaper are usually written better than the articles that you find online. They're not the same, and I think the things online are usually a little shorter than you might find in a magazine like in a newspaper like the Wall Street Journal. So I do think the articles written, a lot of the articles, maybe not all of them, but a lot in the Wall Street Journal are better, are longer and better than what you find on the internet.
They probably are because they pay their staff more. We're going to take a break for a couple of commercials, and Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
We will find you acting on your
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseVoicesOfIntegrity.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Just a couple more things today. I'm not going to go into it, but you have Deutsche Bank. You know, I don't know how Deutsche Bank is, how their credibility, but they're still a big bank. They're still doing business and whatnot, but they see trouble ahead for the world's frothy stock markets. It's like everybody and their brother does, except the people that are holding the stocks. And these are all sure signs that the market may be fall. I don't think we'll see anything this summer anymore, but certainly August can be very volatile. September is the most volatile of the month of the year for trading, most volatile month for trading. So we'll see what happens then. This morning, now, I couldn't believe I heard people talking to these various politicians and so forth. And the one guy, he's a Republican, it's just, they just need to pass something for health care. It doesn't matter what it is. They just need to pass it. And I'm thinking to myself, does he really even know what he's saying? Just pass it. That's all that matters. Doesn't matter what, just do it. Just get it passed. Doesn't matter. I'm thinking, that's the problem.
I agree. That's a mentality up there. It's all about appearance. It doesn't, as long as you do something. I just saved the world. What'd you do? Well, I put a mouse trap out behind the door in the bathroom. It's not saving the world, but they are advertising this stuff, and it doesn't matter what you do as long as you do something and you can claim credit for it. This world runs on appearances, or at least the man that you're quoting, he recognizes a world that runs on appearances more so than reality. It doesn't matter. When people say it doesn't matter what you do, just do something. I mean, that's crazy talk. And insofar as it's coming from someone in a position of authority, power, credibility, it's evidence that we are losing our collective minds. That's not something you can't legitimately say it doesn't matter. Just do it.
Just do it.
It's all just politics.
Yeah.
Just do it. Just
so they can pat themselves on the back, just like.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. They'll just say, "Oh, we did something. We look. You know, I mean, it's like little kids coming up to their parents and say, "Look, I drew a picture of a boat. Ooh, that's a beautiful boat, Johnny."
Look how insulting that is to the American people.
Yeah, I know.
Because the American people just sit back. Oh, yay! They passed. Oh, that's got to be good for me. And they just let them do it, and they know it. These politicians know they're not going to get any heat from anyone in their constituents. I mean, they're just going to. You know, and that's why they do it. Because the American people just sit back. And here's something that's interesting, and then we can move on to what you have out. Oregon lawmakers vote to take guns away from high-risk individuals. In a rare development, this was last... The vote was on Thursday, but in a rare development, even for Democrat-dominated Oregon, lawmakers in both the State House and Senate have agreed to a new policy limiting gun use. The measure passed Thursday allows family members and police officers to petition for guns to be taken away from a people who show risk of harming themselves or others. Senate Bill 719 narrowly passed the House 31-28 with no support from Republicans and no votes by three Democrats. It now heads to the Governor Kate Brown, whose largest 2016 individual campaign donor supports gun safety measures for her signature. I'll let you guess who was one of her biggest donors. But I've talked about this before, Al. They don't call it gun control anymore. They call it gun safety.
Yep.
And everybody, yay, gun safety. I don't have a problem with gun safety because it's not gun control. No, gun safety is gun control. You go to some of these websites and there isn't anything on there about safety. It's all about the limiting the use of weapons. But under this bill, a judge could issue an extreme risk protection order against a person deemed at risk of committing suicide or shooting others. The person would have 24 hours to hand over their guns to law enforcement before having officers take them away. The policy is similar to one approved overwhelmingly by Washington voters in 2016 and modeled on court orders protecting victims of domestic violence. There was something a little more I wanted to say about that.
In and of itself, it's not a terrible law yet.
But
the way you're describing
it
is they need a court order to get a specific get guns away from a specific individual, and somebody's got to complain about this guy. It is not where we're going to take all the guns from everybody over 40 who votes Republican, all right, or over 12 who votes Democrat. It's a step in that direction.
But who decides?
The judge.
That a person.
The judge.
Right.
And it's still going to be a situation where they're going to have a tough time. They're doing this for safety purposes rather than, and they're saying, this isn't about gun control. It's not about the right to keep and bear arms. This is about safety.
Well, that's what
this
I said.
This is about medical care and health care and the rest of that sort of thing. It may even be that when you get your Obamacare finally devised, in order to collect it, you won't be able to keep a gun because it would indicate that you're a little bit strange if you have any firearms.
They do have. If you file a restriction order,
yeah,
against someone, they do take their weapons. You know, like if there's a family dispute and you, oh, what's the term that I'm thinking of? The
threaten?
No. Anyway, if you have a protection order.
Okay, you're talking about. All right, I understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, if you have a protection order.
You can't come within 1,000 feet of them or something along those lines.
They will take their weapons, you know, while that order is in effect. That I know for sure. But this goes on and talks about how the affected gun owners would get their weapons back after the order expires, or they win at an appeal hearing. So if you're sick one day and they get your weapons back, you can, you know, all you have to do is, you know, wait for the order to expire. They didn't say how long these orders are, how many years, months, or days that they exist. House Minority Leader Mike McClain said it was difficult for him to oppose the bill because he knows it's meant to help people. But he said he feared Oregonians' rights would be infringed by judges ordering their guns taken away. He says people do have rights, even when the choices they make are wrong. But what was interesting is the governor received, Governor Kate Brown received $250,000 to her campaign last year from, of course, former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Every Town for Gun Safety, a gun control group co-founded by Bloomberg, last year donated $15,000 to Williamson's campaign and $102,000 to the House Democratic Caucus. So that's how
it's
you
a political
get,
campaign
get it
contribution, Melody. It's not a bribe, and people can give excessive sums to politicians, and it doesn't influence their judgment. They tell us that. They promise. And how stupid could Bloomberg be to give $250,000 to somebody whose opinion was not changed by receiving $250,000?
Well,
I mean, is that what corporations
bill?
Do that give the money to politicians? We just give it to them because they're just so good. We don't care what they do. This is a really good politician. Let's give him some money. We don't care if he votes against us. Bunk. The big hitters, they don't hand out a nickel or a dime if they don't give out a nickel if they don't get a dime's worth of return on it.
Michael Bloomberg, I don't think he would ever. Everybody always thinks he's going to run for president. I don't think he would because he can do more with his money
Probably
by
so.
Influencing campaigns than he ever could by being president. So
an article here from 24H Gold. And the headline is, here's what stupid cheap looks like. The inflation-adjusted silver price. Now, I talked about this a little bit last week, that they are selling gold in this country at paper gold prices. There is no market for physical gold in this country. There's no real physical, there's no real free market. Yes, you can go out on the street and sell it and the rest of that sort of thing, but there's no market to determine the real price of physical gold. It's all on the basis of paper gold, for which they, according to some sources, they may be issuing 600 ounces of paper gold, 600 pieces of paper. Say, this piece of paper is worth an ounce of gold, and they're going to issue 599 more of them, and there's only 1 ounce of gold in their vault to back up these 600 paper ounces. Now, the point behind this is that they're literally giving gold and silver away right now. Right? You can buy physical gold at paper gold prices. Right? Sooner or later, the paper gold has to cease. And when it does, the price of physical gold should jump dramatically, significantly. It should skyrocket. Well, here's an article from 24H Gold, and it says, here's what stupid cheap looks like, the inflation-adjusted price of silver. They did a similar article apparently a couple of weeks ago where they did the same computation with gold, and I don't have that in front of me, but this is the fundamental idea is the same in both. So readers asked to see the 1980 inflation formula chart in silver. That chart shows that silver's undervaluation is even greater than gold's. They already did one on gold. This one's on silver. And they're talking about calculating using the same formula to calculate inflation that was used in 1980, right? And they say why we must adjust for inflation. When trying to put the price of a particular asset into perspective, you have to adjust it for inflation. If you don't, the long-term view is distorted and can lead to erroneous conclusions. However, there's a trick to adjusting for inflation, especially in the longer time frame. The trick is this. Inflation measurement formulas have been changed numerous times over the years. The methodology used to calculate the Consumer Price Index, that's CPI, of course, has undergone at least 14 alterations since 1980. This is the government cooking the books. They keep changing the formula in order to get the result they want. They do this with unemployment. They do it with inflation. They do it with GDP. They do it with money supply. They are constantly readjusting the formula so they can get the results they want. Right? And insofar as they do that, whatever result you get from however you calculate inflation today is going to be completely different from what you would get if you calculated it the same way you did 2 years ago or 5 years ago or 20 years ago. Right? They have changed it 14 times since 1980. That's 37 years, 14 times. We're talking about, basically once every 2.5 years, they change the formula. So they point out, if the yardstick used to account for inflation has been modified that many times, how accurate can the yardstick be over long periods of time? It can't. So the author of this article asked John Williams of ShadowStats.com to provide an inflation adjustment for silver, a calculation for the silver. Essentially, John inflation adjusted the price using the 1980 Consumer Price Index formula. If we use the 1980 formula to measure inflation, you can see the current price is near all-time inflation-adjusted lows. They're telling you that when you adjust for inflation, the current price of silver, which is less than $16 an ounce, is about as low as it's ever been. All right? There's a significance here. You buy low and you sell high. You buy low, and the reason it's low is because everybody thinks you're crazy to buy. All right? But both gold and silver are at near record lows. It tells you this is the time to buy. You buy low, you sell high. We are not at a sell high moment here. This is the time to be buying gold and silver. He goes on, he says, if we use the 1980 formula to measure inflation, The current price is near all-time inflation-adjusted lows. In fact, silver is selling below 1970 levels. You can buy silver right now for less than it would have cost back in 1970. Silver's $25 peak in September of 1980 would be equivalent to $606 per ounce today. Now, silver may or may not get that high, but this shows just how great the potential is. Today's silver, $16, is the peak in September of 80 is equivalent to $606 per ounce today, and it's selling for $16 an ounce. We don't. Nobody's going to argue that silver is going from $16 an ounce up to $606, but no one can argue that it can't happen. It's happened before. It could happen again. All right. I'm not going to argue it's going to happen, but so what? It illustrates that the potential, look, you can expect to see silver price of silver sooner or later go to $100 an ounce. $50 is certainty. $100 is not too incredible to be believed. They continue, so not only is silver dramatically undervalued at current prices, its potential upside is enormous. That's a formula for a key signal for when to buy. You can get it cheap and the potential upside is huge. We are at that buy low moment. Even if silver never approaches the 600, it says if silver, were to match the inflation adjusted price of $606.30, it would have to rise by 3,600%. All right. That might be more than you can make on Bitcoin. Even if silver never approaches this level, it's clearly undervalued at current prices. It is a best buy. Second half of June is when silver has, on average, its largest correction of the year. The decline tends to reverse right after the 4th of July, and it historically ends the year roughly 9% higher. Presumably, the last statement, it historically ends the year 9% higher. I think they mean from after the 4th of July, whatever it was after the somewhere in the neighborhood of the 4th of July, 9% before the end of the year, historically. Maybe it will, maybe it won't, but clearly, again, they are giving away gold and silver right now. If you understand, if you look at the inflation, if you look at prices, if you see what is almost certain to happen in the near future, they're giving it away. And now is the time when we have record low prices. Now's the time to buy. Buy low, sell high. But we're also going to, it's time to buy low and sell high. It's also time to take a couple of commercials. Millet and I will be back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Won't you take me back to school? I need to learn the golden rule. Won't you lay it on the line? I need to hear it just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. Here's an article that is interesting to me. This is from the Huffington Post. And the headline is, Pope Francis warns of dangerous alliance between U.S. and Russia. Now, it's interesting to me because traditionally, for most of my lifetime, the popes have stayed out of politics, at least in a public arena. Right? They may have been working behind closed doors. I don't know what they do behind closed doors. But they didn't jump into politics. And here's the Pope warning of a dangerous alliance between the United States and Russia. And the article says Pope Francis has expressed concern about a, quote, very dangerous, unquote, alliance between the U.S. and Russia, saying that its leaders are among those who have a distorted vision of the world when it comes to immigration. According to the Pope, the danger concerns immigration. And he says, our main and unfortunately growing problem in the world today is that the poor, the weak, the excluded, which includes migrants. The Pope had previously expressed concerns over Russia's annexation of the Ukraine's Crimea region. He has also criticized Trump over a stance on immigrants, at one point saying, Trump is not a Christian, because of his determination to build border walls. It's in the Bible, Melody. All right? God tells you don't build any border walls. Well, except the walls around Jerusalem, for example.
Around the Vatican.
Yeah, and the Vatican will have a few walls, I suppose, and the rest of thing.
They do.
But hey, you can't protect your own property. Look, the Vatican is a country. Right? It was granted, it's only something like 120 acres, if I understand correctly, but it was granted stature as a separate and individual country. And I'm wondering if the Vatican is going to allow all the immigrants to pour into the Vatican. Are they going to pull this new, there are allegations that the Vatican has enormous wealth squirreled away in the form of paintings and gold and gems and cash. I don't know what all they've got, and I don't know if they've got anything. But the reports for years are that they have hoarded enormous wealth. I'm wondering when Pope Francis is going to sit back and if these immigrants are our brothers and sisters, are they his brothers and sisters? Are they going to start dissipating some of the Catholics' wealth in order to feed the poor? Or are they just going to sit back and say, we'll hang on to our wealth, but we'll get some of you other people. You get your wealth and you help the poor. He says, migrants are our brothers and sisters in search of a better life, far away from poverty, hunger, and war. Well, that may be very nice, but we're in search of a better life also. And to some degree, I don't know how much truth there is, but some of the migrants coming into this country are in search of a better welfare system where they can collect, where they can live, let the government and the people who live in this country support them without necessarily having to work. Pope went on to ask that the leaders of Europe, which he described as the richest continent in the whole world, not try to succumb to an illusion that they can seal their borders. I don't know. You know, I'm going to guess that Pope Francis probably has a copy of the Bible somewhere around there. I'm going to guess that if he reads the Old Testament, it's pretty clear that nations maintained their borders back in the day. I don't think the good Lord said there's a prohibition on this. I didn't see it in the Bible. Maybe it's there. Maybe Pope Francis, I'm sure he's a better Bible scholar than I'll ever be. But just the same, Where does he get you're a Christian if you try to protect your own borders? You're not a Christian, excuse me, if you try to build borders to keep the immigrants from coming in. You know, he wants these immigrants to get away from, they want to get away from poverty, hunger, and war, and I don't blame them a bit. But if you want to get away from poverty, hunger, and war, one of the things you have to do is figure out why you are impoverished. And it might be because the system of values that you have in your country, your culture, your government is contrary to your interest. Maybe what you need to do is make sure you get a system of values that is conducive to prosperity. And what that's been for most of the last 2,000 years is Christendom. What the culture that has driven, that has brought what passes for civilization today, more than any other, the one culture that has, and the system of values that has brought this world to some semblance of civilization, is Christendom, as found in Europe, the United States, Australia, maybe South Africa, right? And it's once it's adopted, for example, the Japanese adopted it after World War II, and they quickly rose to be the second, and I'm not saying they became Christians, but I am saying the system of values that were associated with Christianity. I'm not saying you have to be a Christian to engage these values, but Japan did after World War II.
Yeah, with the help of the United States.
Well, maybe so, but still they did it and became the second largest economy in the world. China is, to some degree, embracing the ideas and the values behind Christendom. They won't admit that. They're not going to admit the Christian connection on this thing.
Well, they can't.
But they're emulating what passes for civilization. There are cultures in this world that could not produce a wooden wheel left to their own devices. There are others that can put men on the moon. And there's cultures that can keep you alive, not until you're 40 or 50, but until you're 70, 80, or 100. It depends on your system of values. And when these poor migrants that are allegedly trying to escape from poverty, hunger, and war, maybe what they need to escape from is a system of values that leaves them in poverty. And sometimes you have to fight to install a system of values that is actually conducive to probably a moral world, prosperity for individuals, responsibility for individuals. You are responsible for your own life. You're responsible for your own standard of living. Get to, oh, I'm poor, give me some money. Maybe you have to earn your way.
I no doubt that there's many that come over here, but I do know a lot of the ones that want to work hard usually come into the country legally.
Of course.
This is the issue, is legally. And I've seen immigrants from various places open up businesses in this country.
Yeah. Yeah.
They work 7 days. They're hard workers.
I know.
They get ahead.
I understand.
The problem that I see is we bring in all these ones that aren't legal, and the government doesn't enforce. I think these businesses that hire the illegals, they're the ones that should be fined heavily.
I agree.
And that just goes, I remember many, 30, 40 years ago, I used to do payroll for a very large Chinese restaurant in Phoenix, Arizona. Many, many years ago, 40 years ago, I guess. When the immigration people were coming, the owner would get a phone call. So as they were coming in the front door, all the illegals would be going out the back door.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd always leave one or two as a token.
Yep.
You know,
sacrificial foreigners.
You know, there just wasn't, you know, they just weren't fast enough, you know, or the door was too, you know, thin for everybody to get out. So, I mean, is part of the problem.
Oh, I agree. I don't even think it's part of the problem. I think it's the biggest part of the problem. It may sound like I'm railing away kind of criticizing immigrants, and to some extent that's true. But my problem, for example, is not with the Mexicans that cross the border coming into this country. My problem is with the government that won't protect our borders. We've got time to go invade Syria, Afghanistan. We can go into Iraq, maybe Iran. No telling. We can invade, but we can't protect our own borders. It is irrational. It's inconceivable. It makes no sense except for the fact that people in the cat house on the Potomac are treasonous whores. First order business. I don't care what goes on in Syria, and Syria has nothing to do with me, I'm able to understand. The only reason Syria is, and we are having a problem with Syria, is somebody wants to build a pipeline, and some people don't want to build a pipeline, and in order to support special interests who want to profit from the pipeline, we may have a war in Syria. Syria hasn't taken any of my rights. Bush used to say the military are fighting for our freedom. Who in Iraq ever took any of our rights? Who in Iran has taken any of our rights? The only people who take our rights are in Washington, D.C., in your state capital. All right? And they say, oh, they hate us for our freedoms. The only people, if anybody hates us for our freedoms, it's our own government. And they, are, while they're engaged in these grand schemes, playing global politics and wheeling and dealing and rest of it, why don't they protect our own borders? If we've got enough money to go to Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan, we have enough money to protect our own borders. And my problem, I don't blame the Mexicans. If I took a stack of $100 bills and spread them out in my front lawn, and come morning they were gone, I could complain that, oh, the Mexicans stole my $100 bills. What are you doing putting $100 bills on your front lawn? Of course they stole them. If you're not going to protect your own property, of course someone's going to come take it. You can bet on it if it has any value. You have an obligation. You know, thou shalt not steal. The biblical commandment presupposes that you have a right to property. And somewhere in this, you even have an obligation to protect your property if you want to keep it. You have the right to dispose of it as charity if you want to help the poor, that's fine. But you don't have a right to take my property to help whoever you think is deserving if I don't happen to agree with you. Right? Charity, fine, I don't care. Help the poor, go ahead. Right? But here's the Pope. He's warning of a dangerous alliance between the U.S. and Russia, and it's all about immigration.
Well, I'd also like to talk about the world's population with Elon Musk, about how the world's, how the world's population accelerating toward collapse, and nobody cares. Do we care? Should we care?
Well, this is Elon Musk is quoted by CNBC. He tweets about mundane topics from LA traffic to Tesla projects. On Thursday, he was more dire. The world's population is accelerating towards collapse, but few seem to notice or care. And what he's talking about is people have been worried about the population explosion in the world. They've been talking about it. They talked about a book called The Population Bomb. I don't remember what that is, 40, 50 years ago. A book, people, oh my gosh, there's a population explosion. He says, no, there's not. He says there's reason to believe that the population of the world is actually declining, and there is, in the sense that it's happening in Japan. And the reason appears to be that there is something strange about prosperity, where people who are prosperous tend to have less children. Poor people have lots of kids. And maybe because they can't afford an Xbox, so they have another baby. I don't know what the reason is for that. But as nations become more prosperous, we also become less fertile. And I don't mean necessarily just in a biological sense, but I mean we are less inclined to have children as we become richer. And that's a danger. And Musk is at least touching on that idea. And it is surprising. It's not an idea I've heard of previously. But he's saying, look, the world's population may actually get too small. Everybody's, oh, the population's we're going to have too many people, there won't be enough food to feed us all. Well, yeah, that's what everybody's worried about. He's saying, no, there's actually evidence that the population might be declining. And ultimately, that may have adverse consequences of its own. So, I don't know. It's another one of those things, if you didn't have enough to worry about already, here's one more. One more thing we can worry about, Melody. There's going to be a population implosion rather than explosion, at least according to Mr. Musk. So
Which I think is interesting. The world balances itself over a long period of time, I guess.
Oh, yeah, it does. It happens like dinosaurs. You got too many dinosaurs, bang, we balance it out, and bye-bye, dinosaurs are gone. There is a process of natural selection that persists even when you have great government and big beneficial programs and support everybody. Well, sooner or later, when you support everybody, you wind up actually supporting a lot of people who are incompetent. And if they continue to breed, and they breed profusely, pretty soon there'll be more incompetence than there are competence. And inevitably, there will be a moment of natural selection. It can be imposed by war. It can be imposed by natural catastrophe. It's unfortunate. It's sad. But it's the way the world works. You know? So natural selection is always here, at least unless the good Lord interferes to make sure it's not going to be here. But you can expect that you can't just be stupid just because it feels good. You actually have to think. You have to do what is right, not merely what is fun. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom. We're out of time for today. Hope you'll tune in tomorrow when we return to Financial Survival. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. You might